Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Smartphones, smart cars, even smart sleep, and smart suitcases, and smart houses. Well, we're getting smarter, I guess. But here to talk about all of this stuff is Debbie Berlin. She was just at this huge electronics show in Las Vegas. The look of the future was introduced to us in many, many devices. And as she says, connectivity is the big thing. Debbie is the president of Consumer Policy Solutions and Project Goal. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Well, Debbie, you saw it all. Or most of it.
Well, I can't say I saw it all because
that would be almost impossible.
It would be absolutely impossible. Yes, every year the show gets bigger and bigger. So I think it would take probably 2 months to get through the entire show.
Probably. From what I read about it, my gosh, it was really incredible. And obviously, as you had mentioned before we went on the air, the whole big thing here is connectivity, how the devices are going to talk to each other and how you talk to them. And then, of course, their smartphones that have they're just growing all over the place. And we're really not going to talk about phones so much today. I'd really like to talk about some of the more interesting and different kinds of things that came out of it. What was the thing that got your attention the most? Was there any one particular kind of product that stood out?
Well, I think, as you mentioned when you introduced it, you know, everything is getting smarter now. So at every step of our daily life, we have the opportunity to be connected. And it's not only that we're connected to our devices, but now it's in the future, our devices are going to be connected to each other. So we have the smart home, we have appliances in our home, and then we have the smart car that we're continuously driving around in now. Our cars are getting smarter. So I think that the big hot item at CES was not only the smart car, but moving towards the autonomous car, the self-driving vehicle.
Self-driving. So what did you see there that was really particularly interesting that these cars are doing?
Well, we saw the prototype of the self-driving vehicle. We saw the car of the future, which won't have a steering wheel that really operates, but will have the opportunity for us to sit there and be driven. And we all have, you know, heard about it. We've all seen bits and pieces of it. But now we see the reality that the self-driving vehicle is on its way. The autonomous vehicle is on its way. And it's not only a car, but it's also a trolley. It's also a van. And it's also a bus, that these will be part of our transportation system.
Well, the developers are claiming that this is going to make us safer. And I suppose, but you know, my husband has a Mercedes, which is pretty much a smart car. But you have to be behind the steering wheel. You have steering wheel. You have to be there. There are certain instances when you have to be driving it. I don't know if I could give up control or not. I mean, you know, did you talk to people about this concept and whether or not they have concerns? Now, I know that Uber has been introducing smart cars without drivers in some cities on a limited basis. How's that gone? Do you know?
We're working on it. You know, they're experimenting all over the country with different cars with different systems, and it's moving along. Yes, there's certainly a psychology to it.
Oh yes,
I think we're a ways away from the ability to not have a driver behind the wheel to override that system.
Yeah.
So you know, we talk about the autonomous vehicle. The second part of this is the connectedness of all these devices that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So we not only have the car, but we have the opportunity for the car to talk to the home. So for you to be in the connected car and for the connected car to be able to manage the smart home system.
Well, so, I wanted to be able to go to the refrigerator, get out the roast, thaw it, put it in the oven. I don't think we're there yet. Well, I don't know.
We're
robots.
Not quite there yet, but we are not that far away from the opportunity for you to be in your car and to recognize the fact that you're out of milk. So, you know, we're that's the kind of connectedness we're talking about.
So it's like one of those things in some of the hotels that tell them that you've taken something out of the refrigerator.
Right, and get charged for it. Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. But yes, that's the kind of smart connections we're talking about. So for your refrigerator, not only for your refrigerator to know that you're out of milk, but for your car to know that your refrigerator is out of milk, or for your thermostat to be able
you can
to
set it
mm-hmm. to talk to your smartphone. You know, your smartphone knows that your thermostat is set at a certain degree. So, you know, all of this connectedness that we have.
You know, and this is a subject for another discussion, but the whole issue of the privacy and the vulnerability to hacking and that sort of thing is that's something that to me would be a serious concern. We'll do that another time, Debbie,
because I don't think we have time today.
We
do need to talk about privacy, and I was just telling you that earlier before we got online here that privacy is a huge issue,
mm-hmm.
that consumers certainly do need to consider their privacy, and that it's important that privacy be a part of design with these devices.
Well, now, one of the things that came that was there was Alexa, which I gather is the new Amazon device that you can talk to. It's a personal assistant?
A personal assistant, yes.
And that's kind of like Echo, which is that also Amazon?
Yes, and Google Home. And at CES, it was another one of the trends that I saw. There were a huge number of personal assistants, different forms of the Alexa and different forms of the Google
Home. Now tell our listeners what Alexa is.
So it's a device that you can have that's connected and that you can ask it to do certain things, to answer certain questions that you have, to turn on your music that's connected to your device. And with the Amazon Echo, you can have it order things through Amazon. You can say Alexa, which turns it on. You can say, Alexa, order more laundry detergent, which it will do through Amazon. You could say, Alexa, play the music, make a phone call. You know, there are things that you can ask it to do, similar to the Siri device. These are voice-activated devices, which I think is the huge trend, whether it be through your smartphone or your personal assistant device. Mm-hmm. Voice activation is the future.
Yeah, like my smartphone, I can, you know, it's an Android, so it uses Google, and I say, okay, Google, and then I can get access to the world.
Right.
What do I want to know, you know? I find that very convenient, but I know that everything I'm doing is somewhere out there in space, and somebody's aware of it, not actually individually, but technology.
Right.
Well,
right.
Look, this is so fascinating. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Debbie Berlin, or Deborah Berlin, as you in the formal world might know her. She is the president of Consumer Policy Solutions and Project Goal. Tell me just a minute about what Project Goal is. I know you've told me in the past, but I've totally lost my mind.
Sure. Project Goal is the project to get older adults online. So it's my project to help get the 65-plus community to get broadband access, to get online, but also to get the advantages that technology has to offer. And so when we're talking about the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, all the technologies that are out there, which have a tremendous benefit for the older community. As I walked the show, everything I looked at, which has an advantage for all of us, has a real advantage for the older community as well.
Debbie, you have a website. Can people find information about all these projects and things that you're involved in?
For the older community, it's theprojectgoal.org.
Is it the or just Project Goal?
It is theprojectgoal.org. Yes.
The Project Goal, GOAL.com.
.org.
Of course, it's .org.
And then I also have a website where I blog about a lot of these issues, which is called Consumer Awareness Project.
Consumer Awareness Project. Okay.
Yes,
you want to see her blog? You can go there. I bet you've had a lot to blog about since you were in Las Vegas. So, you know,
yes,
I was reading about that show. It sounds incredible.
I
think what you'd need is a little tiny motorbike to take you around so that you didn't give out before you got to the end of the day. Because it's huge.
It is huge. And you really always feel at the end like there are so many more things that you would like to see.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, one of the things I want to talk about is the smart home, where I think so many of us would like to live in a smart home with all the conveniences of the devices. And so one of the interesting things I think we have to look forward to is how the smart home is going to be integrated. Because right now, you may have a smart thermostat, mm-hmm. Which many people do. But there are so many other appliances that are on the horizon that are going to be smart. And the refrigerator, the stove, and then
I want it to do my laundry.
Well,
Here's
the device for you.
Okay. I don't,
maybe you've done your reading, but when I was at CES, I saw something called the Laundroid.
I love it.
So,
does it fold and iron?
Well, okay. The Laundroid is a folding machine. It's a folding robot. And I think it's a little kind of, you
Wait a minute,
know,
now, when
conceptual
I said folding, I meant
point.
Folding clothes.
It folds the clothes.
Oh, it does.
Yes, Shirley, it folds the clothes.
I love
That's
it already.
What this does. So right now we saw a demonstration of it. And so you put the clothes in a drawer and then the machine closes. And within a certain amount of time, we're not sure exactly how long. I don't think it's something that you can expect to happen really fast. But it folds the individual shirts, pants, and underwear. And then it opens up and they're all folded.
I love it.
So we don't know how much this will cost. It's supposed to be out in the market sometime this year.
Is that right?
Yes. And when I saw the demonstration, they said that in a few years, they're going to integrate this with a washer and dryer. So there'll be a washer, a dryer, and a Laundroid, a folding machine. And then eventually in the smart home, now this is in a very, very smart home, the Laundroid washer dryer combo will also deliver the folded clothing items to each family member's rooms.
Oh my goodness. Is that heaven or what?
So this sounds a little bit like the Jetsons,
I think,
doesn't it? It's going to join.
It talks about what a lot of people have dreamed about.
Yeah, it's going to join the flying car and deliver the folding clothes. But really, you know, these are all getting close to realities here.
What fun to see.
Right.
And hear
right.
about.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gracious.
The laundry.
All right. So, but there were robots doing all kinds of things,
There
expect.
Are robots doing all kinds of things. And, you know, I saw robots that play games, of course, that we have a million of. But, you know, also robots that are excellent learning tools that can help with, you know, kids in schools and also help those who need assistance
who have
at
disability,
home.
Well, for our returning, some of our returning disabled wounded veterans
absolutely.
Could be very much helped.
There were robots who were helping people who were isolated and need someone to talk to as a companion. You know, just fascinating uses of robots. Absolutely.
Probably the only thing that's limiting there is what you can imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So robots who, you know, took up a little bit of space at CES 2 years ago now have robots were everywhere.
Is that
at
right?
At every point.
Different kinds of uses.
Different kinds of uses. And that's one of the things that you see at CES are the trends. You know, one of the interesting things at CES is what you can see from year to year. And I've been going now for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 3 or 4 years ago was when I saw the 3D printer unveiled. And the first 3D printer unveiled. Which was incredible. 4 years ago. Now, 3D printers take up a huge amount of space at the CES show. They're just all over the place. So, you know, and now many schools have them in their classrooms. And there are personal 3D printers. So that just took off like crazy. So, you know, you can see these trends. The same is true of robotics, virtual reality, you know, all of those sorts of things have taken off very quickly.
Sitting here listening to this and thinking, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. But yet there's going to be a learning curve for people to learn to use these things, I would think.
Yes. There is. And, you know, the key is to make them as intuitive as possible. You know, the other thing is when we think about how does this all happen? What is it that will keep this going? What is it that makes this all happen? And what kind of networks do we need to maintain this in the future? And a lot of what I heard about at CES is the wireless network going forward, and that's 5G. That's the network that will make this all possible. That's the next wireless generation is 5G.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important.
That's going to be the underpinning of all of it, I guess.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That will make
this possible because it's going to be faster and it's going to be make it much more possible for all of this connectivity from machine to happen, from device to happen. So
let's just take a brief pause here and come back and talk a little bit about the 5G network. You're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Deborah Berlin. She is the president of Consumer Policy Solutions, and one of the things that she works on particularly is Project GOAL, which is getting older adults online. So a very worthwhile project, Debbie. Okay, let's talk about 5G and what that means. Now, because if you don't have a network that can handle the volume, nothing's going to work.
Right.
Is that correct?
Well, we won't have the capacity.
Right.
So the 5G will have a greater capacity to enable these technologies.
How close? Do you have any sense of how close we are to getting a 5G network?
Well, I know that the FCC has opened a proceeding to enable to get the spectrum that we need to enable the 5G network. And so that proceeding will move forward, that we will, you know, hopefully that will be happening.
What is this going to do to cost? Now, I know that any new device that comes on the market initially is much more expensive, but are the forecasters saying that these products are going to be affordable by the average American, or is it something that we're going to have to work our way into? I mean, you know, like devices that used to cost thousands of dollars years ago now cost very little.
Sure. Anything that's brand new on the market,
yeah.
It just depends. The Amazon Echo is, you know, those devices are relatively
affordable.
And,
yeah.
You know, so it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about the most expensive smart refrigerator on the market, or are you talking
right.
about
one that does,
you know,
what you need,
a certain type of device,
right.
You know, there's a big scale, there's
big,
a very big
spectrum.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly. There's
exactly.
a whole scale of costs for connected devices, so I'm not going to single out one device
exactly.
or another, because
exactly.
I think there is a certainly a wide scale of affordability for different connected devices.
And of course, everything will get more affordable as time goes on.
And everything will get more affordable. One thing about technology is that we want to make sure we enable these innovations to happen. We have to make sure that we have the kind of environment where we continue to have an innovative marketplace.
Sure.
And, in a way it makes it frustrating for consumers, because we know we buy something and oh my goodness, the next year there's an even better model out there that can do even more great things. And, you know, that's happening with our cars. I was just talking to someone about it, that, you know, you buy a brand new car, and it used to be that the thing that you missed out on was, oh my God, leather seats or, a better radio. But now you're missing out on huge safety features
mm-hmm.
and really new innovations, which
well, like
you
the
wish
little
you
device
had from
that
year to year.
If you're about to change lanes,
Exactly.
And, you know, and it'll warn you if your car is in your blind spot.
Sure. And, you know, from year to year, there are amazing innovations and advancements.
A lot of safety, things that are added into these new cars.
Yes, yes. And that's the great thing that's happening in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. That's what's so great about innovation.
Let's talk about some of the interesting things. The smart bed.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Okay. It's going to help me sleep better.
Well, there was that was an interesting thing about CES. There was a whole area of sleep technology. There were smart beds, not only smart beds, but there were devices to track your sleeping. And who knows what the privacy implications of that are. But there were devices that you could put on your mattress that would track your sleeping patterns and let you know, like, what was your night's sleep like? And it would supposedly help you then learn about how you could sleep better. There were smart pillows, and, you know, just all sorts of devices that would help you know how to sleep, supposedly sleep better. And, you know, it was very interesting, booth after booth about sleep. So what does that conclude? That people are having trouble sleeping?
I guess. Well, I do think
they'll look for anything to help.
We do seem to sleep less these days, according to some studies that I've seen. All right, now what about fitness? Surely there's going to be a connected fitness system.
Yeah, and we know that the fitness trackers are
all around.
Have been around for a while. That the fitness trackers are here, and they're the fitness trackers are. What I've seen from year to year is that they have more and more fitness trackers that they look a lot nicer now that they've designed them to look less like fitness trackers and more like other things, and that the fitness trackers are integrated into other products as well, and connect with certainly with your other devices as well.
Well, we haven't really talked about smartphones that much, but before we went on the air, you said that the smartphones were really not stressed that much at this particular meeting, because there is a meeting that really does focus on phones.
Yeah, I didn't see, you know, I didn't see
as
new
much.
Phones as much, but the thing about the smartphone or the smart iPad or you know, that sort of thing, the smart the thing about the smartphone is that the smartphone is used in so many different ways as a integrated device into other devices. So
That my smartphone talks to my tablet. So
or your smartphone, you know, the smartphone is used to manage your hearing aid. Your smartphone used to manage.
I've heard of that, yes.
Yeah.
To set the volume
To set the volume. Your smartphone is used to manage your thermostat, to manage your, you know, to all those smart home devices. So your smartphone is like the hub.
Wow.
Your smartphone is the hub. So for so many of your devices, your smartphone is key.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's fascinating. It really is. Really quickly, is there one particular product you're most excited about?
Well, I did see one thing, Shirley, and I know, you know, that your listeners might be interested in this. I have to be quick.
Yeah, it's quick.
I did see one thing that integrated the Google Glass. You've heard about Google Glass.
Uh-huh.
For individuals who...
That's about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I know.
I want
we
to
ran
hear
out of
about
time,
it.
But...
All right. Come back next time, folks.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Deborah Berlin. She is the president of Consumer Policy Solutions. Thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.